Blog Talk Radio.
Go with me now. Come on, let me hear some knee slapping, some hand clapping.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's in outrage. In the house.
Yeah.
All right, all right, all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome to the Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, and that was an MCI ministry classic right there. We dedicate that to the First Lady of Mount Carmel, Dr. Carolyn McNeil. Amen. Today is her birthday, and we are going to celebrate her today in the studio. Amen. That is a Mount Carmel classic there. That was a story behind that. You can't fly on one wing. We was taught we got to have Jesus in all that we do, no matter how strong we are, no matter how much money we got, no matter how brainiac we think we is, or how smart or intelligent we think we are. Without Jesus, we are nothing. We cannot make it on one wing. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Celebrating a birthday. Amen. What do the Bible say about that? This, the Bible tells me, this is what I found, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. That is the book of Psalms, chapter 118, verse 24. The Bible says so. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Amen. Glory to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. Amen. Glory to God. So once again, we're celebrating the First Lady of Mount Carmel. Amen. The one and only Dr. Carolyn McNeil on this day. We're going to open up with prayer, and we're going to have a good time in the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your keeping power. We thank you for your wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, God. Not only for our sins, but for us to have everlasting life, to not die, but to live. Oh, glory, glory to your name, God. We give you praise because you desire it, you deserve it, and that is what we are created to do, to give you praise. So on this day, in the name of Christ Jesus, I raise my holy hands up to you and say thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Like I said earlier, we're celebrating our First Lady of Mount Carmel. Her birthday is today, amen. And we are going to do something different. We got the word, amen. Glory to God, I got the word. But I just want to get a chance for those who really don't know her or haven't heard her, or just to get a glimpse, or just to get a feel, let your spirit feel some of the things that she can do. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just thank you for it, God. On this day, we thank you for it.
Come on and bless the name of the Lord. Come on and praise his name. Oh, come on and magnify him with me. Come on and exalt his name today. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. The Lord is truly worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. But
truly awesome.
Hallelujah. I can't tell you what I experienced up here, but it was a Holy Ghost move up in here.
Amen.
Under her. And I'm saying this because I hear a lot of men always say, you know, the woman ain't supposed to do this, and the woman, and I got scripture to back up some of it, but I'm going to get what the Bible say. I'm not going to get what the what I've heard people say, because the Bible, they never add this part. Amen. Go with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. And I'm just going to go into it because I want the people to hear. And I'm going to start at verse 7. Amen. It says, this is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And I have been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth. I'm not exaggerating, just telling the truth. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God. Obedience, dear gentlemen. What did the Bible say? He wants us to what? Worship with holy hands lifted up to God. Now, he's giving the men instructions. Amen. He's giving us instructions. He say, free from anger and controversy. We can't go in there after you've been arguing with your wife, arguing with somebody in the street, got malice in your heart, and any other controversies. We're going to get to a point. Amen. It says, and I want women to be modest in their appearance. No blue hair, no green hair, no piercings in your eyeballs. Your lip ain't got a tongue piercing coming out. Ain't tattoos running down your whole body. You don't have a mini skirt up to your hips. Your high heels ain't 12 inches high. I want them to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their here or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. Now listen, for women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. That's what the Bible says. Not by what you have, not by what you have on, but by the good things that you do. Women should learn quietly and submissively. Amen. It say, do not let women teach men or have authority over them. That is not the order of the house. That is not the order of the house. It's God, the husband, the wife. Now, she could minister to him, but she does not have authority over him. Amen. Now, I'm going to get to something because I don't like when men, we take things and we twist it to make ourselves look great and to make ourselves look on high. A woman of God, if you ain't living properly, she ain't going to follow you anyway. She's going to go to the kingdom. She's going to go to the throne room and say, Lord, I'm doing everything I got to do. He ain't doing right. God fix it. That's what the word just got finished saying. She ought to do things the right way, godly. Amen. I got one more. We're going to get down. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I just want to share something before we, you know, get into to what I wanted to, what God wants me to get into, because it needs to be said, and we need to be make sure we're doing things in decent and in order. Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 14, and I'm gonna start at verse 26. Amen. And this is talking about the orderly worship, and the reason I brought this up, and I asked God to show me this, because in Mount Carmel we did not just come into church, start talking, then start being, we had to be obedient, which means we had to be quiet. All the leaders of each ministry got together and prayed together before we did anything to make sure everybody's spirit was right, to make sure everybody was on the right page. We got together and we prayed. So after we come out of prayer, we come to one big communion prayer. And in the midst of that, whoever was presiding, the atmosphere was already set. So when the people came in, they came into the spirit of worship. There wasn't a whole lot of yakety-yak. Wasn't a whole bunch of chewing gum. Wasn't a whole bunch of running over here, running over there. Obedience is what the woman of God was teaching us. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want us to get to these things and say, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, and another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues. Order, here we go. And other will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and someone must interpret what they say. Amen? But if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting. Amen? Listen, what in your church what? Meeting. In your church meeting, and speak in tongues to go privately. Let two or three people prophesy, and let the others evaluate what is said. It go in order again. But if someone is prophesying and other persons receive a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. In this way, all who prophesy will have turn to speak one after the other, so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Learn and be encouraged. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people. Now, it says women should be silent during the church meetings. It didn't say they should be just quiet in the church. Everybody should be quiet in the church, but it says quiet in the church meetings. Because why? It is not proper for them to speak. They should be submissive. There's nothing wrong with that. Just as the law says, which makes them obedient. And if they have any questions, they should ask their husbands at home. And so just all the yakety-yakking in church. So even that, husbands, we got to be in place, because if there's a question that needs to be answered, there you go again, being the head. We have to be where we're supposed to be. So don't be intimidated when you have a woman of God who's on point, a woman of God who's a great leader, a great listener. Because one thing about a great woman of God, she's going to be obedient to the letter until you show her otherwise. Amen. They should ask their husbands at home, for it is improper for women to speak in church meetings. Meetings. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And for those who think women can't be prophets and prophetess, so let's read on. Or do you think God's word originated with you Corinthians? Are you the only ones to whom it was given? You are spiritual. You should recognize that what I am saying is a command from the Lord himself. But if you do not recognize this, you yourself will not be recognized. So, my dear brothers and sisters, eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. So when a woman is doing things in order, no matter how, there might not be a man in the church. If she's the head of the church, if God has put her in the head of the church, we are to respect the anointing, we are to respect the calling, and we are not to use the Bible to try to badger them or make them feel bad. Amen. As a husband, I'm supposed to be in a place where my wife can come to me and ask me anything. The Bible just told us to lift all hands up, holy hands unto God, and not in anger or in confusion. Amen. Now, I want to talk about being honorable. Amen. Let's go to the book of Titus, because we're talking about the woman of God here. I'm making statements to try to explain to those of us who don't know her. Now, some of y'all might know her before me, and some of y'all might know her personally, but I'm talking about the woman of God now. And we got to get back to the place of speaking to men and women of God by who they are. Yes, she's my wife, but when she's walking in her calling and she's doing the things, and we're out and about and she's ministering, I can't say, hey, baby, hey, Calvin. I had to go up to say, Apostle, is there anything you want me to do? Apostle, or doctor, whatever it is at that moment. We have to get back. But see, we ain't going to get the respect that we deserve if we're not living that lifestyle. If we acting a fool, acting crazy, and people see this, we want to be respected. We have to walk the way God has called us to walk. Amen? Hallelujah. The book of Titus chapter 2. And I'm just going to read from verse 1 and read on down a little bit. Amen? Because we have to promote the right teachings. Amen? Once again, the woman of God, we did not get on ministry until we finished our beginner's class. We did not get in no ministry if we was living foul. We did not get in no ministry if things wasn't correct at the home. We did not get in no. I remember she shut the whole church down with nobody working. For whatever reason, she shut everybody down. And it's a hurting feeling when you shut down and you want to work and a woman of God say no. Because there's something she's seeing and something her spirit is telling her that, no, it ain't right. Mm-mm, everything's out of order. Everybody just doing what they want to do, whatever it may be. The whole church. But she also got respected. Nobody bucked. Nobody went against her. And, you know, some people tried to slide in and do a little work, but she, nope. But that is how it takes when you are giving, when you're teaching your people the right way. When you're teaching your sheep the right way, you have to teach your sheep the right way. You just don't ordain somebody because you cool. You don't ordain somebody because they went online and got a certificate. You don't ordain nobody and ain't went through nothing, don't know what fire is. Hallelujah. We have a great shepherd. Amen. It says, as for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience, men. Similarly, women, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. Oh, she was a great teacher. Oh, they didn't come in there foul. Oh, they didn't come in there bosomed out. They didn't come in here with all them tights. And, oh, she didn't put something on, go home, wrap it up. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger ones. But see, they don't want to be trained. They think they know everything. They got their little hair, they got their little check, they got their little bodies, and they got their little heels, and they got their little Gucci hoochies and all that, and they don't want to listen. And then later on in life, made all these bad decisions when you should have just listened to someone who knows. That's why they have mothers of the church. That's why they have the elder women and elderly men of the church. Amen. You must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive. You can't be up bucking at your husband, Tom, and I ain't going to do this. I make more money than you. You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to my mama's. No, no, no. All that's out of order. All that's out of order. Amen? When you got a good shepherd, especially a female that's teaching a female, as brothers, most of the time we teaching the brothers. Every now and then you can give some advice, but make sure there's some people around. Lord, please make sure that somebody around is listening and seeing, not only naturally, but in the spirit. Because, see, one thing I've learned about women, they can see the spirit of another woman before they even get up on you with their nonsense. They can walk up on you holy with their Bible and all that, but the woman that's in the spirit who's watching, the wolves got to be. Got to have those watchers. Amen. We got to have those good armor back, those good sisters of the church. They ain't putting that down because you put a bad name on the church and you make God look bad. Amen. Hallelujah. We are celebrating the First Lady of MCI Ministries' birthday today, y'all. I feel like it's my birthday. Amen. We had such a good morning. The sun was shining. We went out. Oh, you should see. She had a little sweat. But after she did service this morning and everything, but she had on a little sweat. You couldn't tell her she wasn't 19. But glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's a little something from the lady birthday.
You can give me everything. You can come with your brother taking out. You can come with your sister. You can come with your name. So
pay.
That's good teaching, ain't it? Before you even get set up, she was letting you know, come on in. Like, she accepted anybody anyway, but the cleanup. I seen the cleanup. I seen listen, I'm a prime example. I used to smoke before I even was a member of the church. And I remember one day she said, we was out in the park doing the, they had a, oh my God. Oh, they had a big old thing, food, clothes, big church community thing out in the church and out in the park. And she said to me, I was helping cleaning up. She said, you're going to stop smoking them cigarettes. Now, first of all, I didn't know how she knew I had cigarettes. I didn't smoke the whole time around it, so I know my breath didn't smell it. But see, those, when you got a good leader, God lets them know the things that need to be broken off of you so you can be who you're supposed to be, so you can start being used. It's not for me to buck and say, listen here, you don't tell me what to do. No, that's out of order, because God is showing us some things that I have in my life that will hinder me from growing. And because she was obedient and bold enough to say what God said, she helped raise me. Amen. And we got to get back to the point to allowing the women to be dedicated. Matter of fact, let's talk about somebody who was dedicated. Let's go to the book of Luke. Amen. Let's talk about something. Let's go to the book of Luke. And we want to just honor the woman of God on today. Amen. Glory to God. I just hope she's really enjoying her birthday. I know she's somewhere just resting, feet up, big bucket of popcorn fries. She's just chilling, just laid back. But amen, glory to God. If that's how God wants you to be rewarded, woman of God, you go for it. Amen. Chapter 2. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus help me. Chapter 2. Hallelujah. Let me get this thing right here. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I know it says over here today. Amen. Amen. I'm there. I'm right. Amen. Glory to God. So chapter 2 started verse 33. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was said. I'm going to go up a little bit so we can get an understanding. Amen. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came, amen, to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Reveal God to the nations. It sounds like prayer for the nations. Amen. If you haven't got the book, Prayer for the Nations, yes, Dr. Calvin McNeil has a book, Prayer for the Nations. Amen. Look it up on Amazon. Amen. It's a mighty, mighty book for those prayer warriors. Amen. Amen. Jesus' parents was amazed at that, at what was being said about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. Hallelujah. Anybody know the woman of God? Know that she's always in the temple. But this is the part that reminds me of the woman of God. She was the daughter of Phanuel, Phanuel, from the tribe of Asher. And she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. The old part don't remind me of the first lady. So nobody say, hey, say that remind you of her. No, that's not it. Here's what I'm talking about. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. Some of us didn't even know nothing about fasting and praying until we got to Mount Carmel, because the leader we have made sure that that was a part of our lifestyle. Fasting and prayer. She beat it into our heads. Some things only come through fasting and praying. You're asking God for this, and you want God to do this, and you want God to move here. Some things only come through fasting and praying. Be, listen, I know you can ask for this, but these are some things you have to do to sacrifice. What are you willing to sacrifice? And she taught us that. She got to the point where she even taught us how to make the spirit man stronger than the natural man. And what I mean by that is, when you thought you was hungry, she let you know it's only a thought. Because as soon as you start feeling them hunger pains, go start praying. The food you're going to get in the spirit will always override the natural food. And before you know it, you're not hungry for the food. You're hungry for the things of the spirit. More wisdom, more understanding, more power, more knowledge, more insight on the things of God. Your flesh is not beating you down now. Amen? Great teacher, great woman of God. We are blessed. And that's one of the reasons we celebrate her on this day. Amen? Listen, we got to get back to celebrating our leaders. We got to get back to celebrating our leaders and show them that we love them and we're praying for them and we want God to give them as much joy in their life as we want in ours. We're going to have a song and we'll be right back.
Got true love instead of pain. That freedom, though you captured me, I've got joy instead of mourning.
There's beauty in my brokenness.
I've got true love instead of pain. That's freedom.
Down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
So how do you express this day, this beautiful day, as you look around you, you see the beautiful water, and you see all the little children playing, and you see the ducks, and you see the geese, and you see nature, and you see all the things that God has done? What would you say to a person who just got themselves bound? You know, don't come out. They allow their mind to be bound with depression and suicidal thoughts. As a pastor and a woman of God who feel and have a love for God's people, what kind of advice would you give them, or not just today, but any day?
Well, being so I came from a part of where I didn't want to come out, where I didn't want to enjoy life, it was just only till really when I guess God gave me such a great awakening. In my spirit to just get up and get out of that depression, no question, because if you stay there, you will totally, really, really be depressed for a long
time.
To
your right.
So what I would say to the ones that have been oppressed and depressed, sometimes you got to wake yourself up.
All right, come on, we can walk.
And that's the time to like wake yourself up out of that place, knowing that that's not a place that God wanted you to be in. He made the earth, and he said, I made it beautiful. And so we open our eyes to the beauty of the things that God has given us, then only then will you see life as being pleasurable, life being exuberant, and life being just life, because you don't need a person to make you happy. You have to be happy within yourself. You know, first you have to be happy with you first. You know, until you come to the knowledge of, I got to make me happy first, that's the only way you'll come out of oppression, depression. Because if you're waiting on people to encourage you, sometimes you'll never get that. So you have to find out what your self-worth is, and you know, what do I want for myself? People have told me that I've been there, I'm going to stay there, but until you find out the regular of what God has placed in you, the treasure that God has placed in you, the love that God has placed in you, that's the only way that you'll come out of that place. But look at this, it's beautiful, and sometimes you need a different environment.
Yes, Lord.
You know, a lot of times we stay in the same place, you know, expecting change, but until we get out of our natural, our comfort zone, a place that they never thought that you would be. This is a place now, if we look at the beauty of God and the sunny day. And
action. Now, for our next question, coming from Mount Carmel MTV, that's not music TV,
okay,
but that's ministry TV, for those who don't know what Mount Carmel MTV is. We found out that not only was you a pastor, but you're a mother, a grandmother, and an author of a great book called Broken But Not Forsaken. Could you tell the people who haven't heard about this book, or the people who have read it, or people who might want a new experience in life, what was the motivation behind Broken But Not Forsaken, and was it any truth to it or any personal experiences that led you to write this book?
Well, it was a lot of personal experience, you know, that God allowed me to experience, that I can actually help somebody else. And sometimes we have to be the one that paves the way for somebody else. We have to be the one that's broken.
When you
for
say paved the way, for those who don't understand what you mean, what do pave the way mean? Do that mean suffer for something to express to other people, or explain?
Yeah, we if you look at life in general, say for instance, you're looking at one of your family members. Take one of your family members for example. When you look at your family members, you might look at one the person in your family as saying, I remember when they went through this, this, and this, and this. They taught me how to go through.
Amen.
So being a pastor, we have to go through in order to help somebody else. How can I help somebody else if I've never been through it? So therefore, broken operation, God allowed me to be broken over and over and over again, that I can experience something that I can help somebody else through. So when somebody else comes to me and say, Pastor, I went through this and this, well, God had already allowed me to go through it, so let me help you how to go through and not stay there, because a lot of times we want to stay in a pity party, but those are the times that we are learning, praise God. We are learning some things while we are...
My video's still playing. Hold this. My video.
Amen. 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 Broken but not forsaken. Prayer for the Nations. Great books by a great author, great woman, great pastor, great mother, great grandmother. As we heard, the woman of God who shared some of her personal experiences. She shared some of her ups and downs, some of her brokenness. Amen. And that's one of the traits of a good leader. You have to be able to be open. You have to be able to let people see that you're human, that you've been through some things, that it was only by the grace of God that you stand the way you stand now, that you walk in faith the way you walk in faith. We can't do it on our own. Amen. And those are some of the traits that makes her not only a great woman, but a great teacher, a great author. As we see, she has doctrines and she's a doctor's doctrine. And I'm saying all this to say, because I want to start, me personally, like really elevating the men and women of God. Like, we have to get back to celebrating each other, letting each other know that we love each other, that we got each other's back. We are the backbone of God's kingdom. The people are still waiting on us. And we need to walk and operate in the things and the ways that God has said for us to do it. And I can't badger my brother. I can't beat my brother down because he fell or something's going. I need to lift him up. I need to continuously pray for him. I need to fast for him. I need to be standing in the gap for him, whatever it takes, because we're building a kingdom for the Lord. We're building each other up. I'm not perfect. I've never been perfect, never will be perfect. I tell everybody, if you got a perfect church, when I come in, it's not perfect no more. So I just need you to know that. But we need to get to a place where we start lifting each other up and stop saying, oh, that raggedy church up the street, it's time out for that nonsense. We are kings and queens of the Most High God. We are inheritors of the throne of God. We will be praising and worshiping God forever one day. But we can't afford to leave nobody behind. I don't want to leave no sister, no brother. And I'm not talking about biological. I'm talking about lost souls. Amen? We got to remember what it's about. And we have a great leader who's putting it out. That was the MTV, that was maybe 8 years ago. I was the interviewer, and we did a lot of great things with that, and we were taking it even now, we did some interviews today. We made a tape today. So we're trying to do some ministry things that while the world is doing what it's doing, we got to do what God called us to do. Amen. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Hallelujah. A little small paragraph, but I want to read on. This is it's a beautiful thing, and I want to start at verse 18, if it's okay. Amen. Because we're going to talk about when Paul came back from Antioch of Syria. Amen. Paul stayed in Corinth for some time after that, then said goodbye to the brothers and sisters and went to nearby Centuria. There he shaved his head according to Jewish custom, marking the end of a vow. Then he set sail for Syria, taking Priscilla and Aquila with him. They stopped first at the port of Ephesus, where Paul left the others behind. While he was there, he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. As he left, however, he said, "I will come back later, God willing." Then he set sail from Ephesus. The next stop was the port of Caesarea. From there, he went up and visited the church at Jerusalem and then went back to Antioch after spending some time. Paul went back through Galatia and Phrygia. Forgive me. Visiting and strengthening all the believers. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, amen, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. But however, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him to a side and explained the way of God even more accurately. They didn't try to embarrass him. They took him aside. They used wisdom. They acted in love. They used teamwork. They pulled him aside. Yes, you know this, and yes, you speak well, and yes, that's appropriate, but this is the way of God. And they taught him more accurately. Amen? Oh, man. It's something when a person can work with other people, but not no big eyes and not no big egos, and my apostleship is bigger than yours, and I am chief apostle, you're little chief apostle, I'm big bang bang apostle. No. We have to use teamwork in that, because God calls some to teach, God calls some to preach, God calls some to sing. We got to know our strengths and use them wisely together. Hallelujah. Together. Amen. Let's go to Romans 16. We're talking about characteristics of the woman of God, and I'm hoping that she is well pleased on today, and I hope this is not the last time we have to honor her, and not only her, but every woman and every man of God that I am in tune with and know of, that God allows me in some kind of way to help honor them. Amen. Holy, 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 holy. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 16, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Amen. I commend to you our sister, Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Centuria. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Men, when the woman of God apostle, whoever they may be, come in the church. We have to honor them the same way. I see how the brothers, when a man, a bishop, and a man, apostle come in, we upraise them. The God has called the woman to do the same thing. They need the same honor. The Bible just told me, she was only a deacon in the church. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor amongst God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. Lift them up. Give them honor. Amen. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also, give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Come on, man. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. When we can get together and honor the women of God, we can get together and show them that they are appreciated. Be it a praise and worship leader, be it a deaconess, be it an usher, pastor, bishop, apostle, all the above. They're still working in the vineyard. They're still doing the work. Amen. Hallelujah. They're still doing the work. Now, I got one more scripture, and this is personal. And I'm going to, if God's will, properly read this. I want everybody to go with me to the book of Proverbs, because we're gonna do this right in honor of the woman of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, God. Matter of fact, as before I do that, I would like to play this song, and we'll go right into it. Amen. Hallelujah.
God gave me
when he gave me you. See, that's the one of the good things about being married. You can still romance your queen. Because you say that don't mean ain't no romance in your life, the devil is a liar. Y'all can get fooled by that if y'all want. Because if romance is in your heart, if love is in your heart for that partner, you're going to still love and romance her until God come and take you off his beautiful green earth. So I just wanted to play that to say to my queen, my treasure, First Lady of MCI Ministry Radio, when God gave me you, he just filled every little taste bud of my spiritual being. Because there's none other, baby. God bless you. Now let me try to finish this lesson. Woo, because I'm about to lose my mind. Amen. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And I'm going to start at verse 20. Amen. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone was warm with clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many victorious and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Amen. Glory to God. I think that said it all. Amen. 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 With life lessons from a mother to her son, more than a simple admiration about respect and hard work, but this godly mother had the ear of the king and a burden for those he would lead. She hoped that her son would be a wise king who was strong-willed, who was sober-minded and just. And as she advised him to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, speak up for the poor and helpless, and see that they get justice. Later on, we meet an ideal woman who is described as virtuous and capable and considered more precious than rubies. This godly wife didn't believe in idle hands and always took notice of those in need. She extended a helping hand to the poor and opened her arms to the needy. Hallelujah. Because in Bible times, many people lived in isolation and poverty, especially those with diseases and disabilities. But seeing the need around her, this ideal woman answers the call of the songstress. Rescue the poor and the helpless and deliver them from the grasp of the evil one. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you all this evening who came out to help celebrate the woman of God who deserves the celebration, who is worthy of the celebration. And we thank you all who didn't find it robbery to spend this time to show her that you appreciate her and show her that she is honored, not as a natural, only as a natural woman, but a woman of the gospel. Amen. So we thank you, all our supporters, all those who've been coming and coming to all the shows and coming on the radio at night, coming on the blogs. We're about to do some things, and the things that we said we're going to do, God is making a way for them to come to pass. So please hold on, bear with us. Supporters, come in, fellowship with us. You're invited. Email us, ask questions. Tell us if the ministry did anything for you. Let us know how you really feel. Email us. We're open. Call if you need prayer. We're open. 302-883-9799. Call us, fellowship one with another. Amen. We're going to take this time once again to thank the woman of God for all she's done and all that she's going to do. Amen. We're going to pray out, and we're going to close with a song. Amen. Father God, we thank you for what you've done on this evening. We thank you for the woman of God that you have presented us with. We thank you for her teaching, her wisdom, her love for you, her outstretched hands, her wonderful warm heart. We thank you for her precious tongue, God, that speaks words of encouragement, God, that speaks words of strength, God, who speaks words of inspiration, God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we ask you to impact her with more wisdom, a divine understanding of the new laws, God, in this new world. When you open up these doors, let her be on a glow of fire for your souls, God. Let her be the light that draw them nearer unto you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let all her resources be met. Let her lack for nothing. Let there not be a need. The only need she should have is more of you, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to put a hedge of protection around her mind, her body, her soul, her spirit, God, and keep her in your perfect care as well as your perfect peace. And we thank you for this day that you have given her. In Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to your name, God. We thank you. And once again, we're going to close with a special song. Don't leave. Just listen and let the Lord lead. Amen. Glory to God.
I got 10%. Do this for me,
in my bed a couple of weeks ago. I just felt like my world was caving in. God, you know, I play a little guitar.
Play it pretty good, though.
Told my daughter, go get me your guitar. My kids, Rita, them girls, their mom, they climbed in the bed with me, and I begin to play what you hear back there. That's what I played. I tried to do the best I could with it. And these words came to my mind. And my daughters, they were the first to harmonize this song. So Brian Bo and Terry is about to do what I taught to Mara and to Maya and our mama. They're not going to sing nothing different. They're going to sing it just like to Mara and to Maya. We sang it tonight.
I want to hear it, Roger.
I begin to say these words.
Yes, sir.
I'm going.
Thank you, thank you.
But it's in order. Because the church is here. I want you to touch somebody beside you. Matter of fact, put your hand in their hand. And don't shake their hand like it's a dead fish. But shake it like you're a child of God. Shake it like you've been delivered. Shake it like you've been born again. Matter of fact, I want you to shake it and rock it and rock it and shake it. I want you to look that neighbor in the face and look him in the eye and say, neighbor, come on, holler, say, neighbor, tell him, take a good look at me. Tell him, say, I wasn't supposed to be looking this good after what happened to me. Tell him, I wasn't supposed to be looking.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, we thank you all. We ask you all to have a blessed, peaceful, quiet, loving night. And don't forget, whatever you do, to give God praise and thank him for another day. Until next time, God bless.